Man, I love that Taylor Swift song 22. I was listening to that the other night when I was at that gay S&M bar.
I've never heard anything about that, but speak more on the gay S&M bar, John. What was that like? This is off the record. You can tell.
I know.
We're as always, we're off the record.
We're not going yet. I know. Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know. I had a few drinks and picked up.
Well, Brett, you were there too, right?
Yeah. Like we were just heading out for the night and just taking the night where it took us.
Mm-hmm. You're marrying the night, if you will?
We were married to the night, and it was quite a ride. Like,
a mustache ride, if you ask me.
Yeah. No, like, we actually shaved mustaches in that day. We were, we grew out beards for a little while, and we shaved everything but the mustache that morning, and drank Red Bull all afternoon.
Mm-hmm. I like to mix my Monster and my Red Bull together. And shake it up, and then put a little bit of a protein shake in there. Mix that up.
How many protein shakes did you get that night, John?
Just two.
Okay.
Unfortunately, one of those was riddled with some strange amoeba, and I seem to be ailing a little bit.
Yeah, I was wondering about that. You kind of have a raspy voice right now.
Yeah, I can hardly talk. I'm so...
I can hardly talk. I'm so... I'm not 100% today, you guys, and... So for that, and for that alone, I'm glad that we planned our worst podcast of the year tonight so that I can not have to give my full energy. Mm. And it just worked out that way.
Yeah, no, honestly, I'm kind of in the same boat. The last thing I remember was probably 10:30, 11, p.m., and I was just dancing on this dance floor with a strobe light. And I don't think I'm epileptic, but I do kind of have a reaction a little bit, and I started twitching a little bit, like, because of one of the strobe lights, and fell out, and then next thing I knew, I was back at home. But I've had this raspy voice, and I just can't stop coughing. So
your pants were off when you woke up, right?
Technically on.
Well, yeah, okay. Well, I'll be ready for that. You guys are both under the weather, I guess.
Yeah. Well, let's. You ready to start this thing? And
yeah, I guess so.
Get this ball rolling.
All right, now I'll press record.
Hey
guys,
this is John Shaw.
This is Brett Trail.
This is Sam Barron. We're the
Dizzy Ramblers.
Hell yeah. And we've got a fantastic show planned for you guys. The best one of the year, if you ask me.
I mean, I would say so. I know we've all been excited about it. You guys have been getting ready.
Yeah, I'm totally stoked about this one. It's a Willem Dafoe. Is it his first role?
Oh, no, it's not Willem Dafoe.
Oh, it's not? It's Steve Buscemi.
Al Pacino.
Oh, okay. Oh, man. I was
You're in for
I was getting excited
ride.
For all the wrong reasons. What very gay Willem Dafoe movie am I thinking of?
You're thinking of Loveless.
Loveless,
the
okay.
The directorial debut of... what's her name?
Catherine Bigelow. Awesome. And I want to apologize to the viewers. I attended church last week, and I seem to have picked up something from that because I was around a bunch of preschoolers and whatnot.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm a little ailing. I'm not quite 100% tonight, but I'm going to give it my all, give it my best full energy for this episode because this, like I said, is possibly the best episode we've ever done.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was assisting down at the soup kitchen, and I think one of the tired old men who comes and frequents and gets soup there a lot might have given me his ailment, like via sneeze or what have you.
I mean, I always say old people and children are really gross, just very gross.
Yeah.
Oh, but they need soup.
They need that creamy, chowdery goodness. Some chowder. Say it. Say chowder.
Chowder.
Say it, Frenchie! Anyway.
No, that's pretty... No, it's
man, that makes me glad that we don't have Rachel Dratch on the Dizzy Ramblers. Like, that's one guest star I don't want to have.
No, Hi, you guys!
Keep that door locked.
I got it. All right, she's not getting in, don't worry.
No, this studio is made of reinforced steel, and you're not getting inside.
It's like 30 rack after season 2.
30 rack?
30 rack.
It's like, I'll say it again, guys.
I'm pretty sure there was like a porno version of 30 Rock, but it should have been called 30 Rack.
It should have been, and I'd watch that. I'd watch it with the actors they had. That'd be pretty sweet.
Tina Fey did a voice in The Simpsons this season.
I saw a Howard Stern interview with Tina Fey recently.
Let's all speak about our own personal
Tina Fey's great, isn't
Tina
she?
Tina Fey is not going to take over for Lorne Michaels, she just said, after SNL ends.
Yeah, oh, really?
I mean, after he's done, I mean...
That would have been cool.
Yeah, like, she could probably do something better.
Mm.
Shabow! I said that.
Maybe she already...
I'm an SNL fan. What?
She said in an interview...
Baby mama?
She said in an interview recently that every sketch you hated from her time on SNL, she wrote, and every one that you loved, she didn't.
Hmm.
Like, she was talking about how, like,
I believe that.
Disagreeable and sexist it was, so. Which is why, like, once Amy Poehler and her teamed up, they never let anyone forget that women were the top people on SNL.
Oh, man.
Man, Brett, that cough has really been acting up. You know, you gotta, maybe you should take off from volunteering at your position at the soup counter.
Yeah, that's a pretty dangerous position to be in, I think.
Yeah, the soup kitchen is a really tough position, and I was in the soup kitchen a lot last night.
Well, it's a pretty tight space back there, right? I've seen it, like, I don't know, they get you pressed up against the wall there, don't you? Don't they?
Yeah, I mean, that's how the soup kitchen works, though. Like, you gotta be in a tight space.
One old
space.
Man after another, yeah.
I'm gonna vouch for something that I think Sam coined earlier, and we should title this the Cruise Cast.
Ooh.
And as much as I'd love for it to be about Tom Cruise...
I'm so glad it's not.
We're going back to the 80s.
Yeah.
Back before Tom Cruise was even a thing.
Mm-hmm.
And Al Pacino was in his glory, I guess.
Oh, yeah!
We're watching 1980s Cruising.
Yes.
Tonight. And...
on a very special Dizzy Ramblers.
Yeah, where half of the cast and crew is diseased and... one of us may pass away before the episode ends.
Did you say Tom Cruise was in this?
No. 3 years before Tom Cruise. If you had, I don't know, let me just ask you, I don't know the answer, I've never met you before, sir, but what would be your favorite cop movie of the 70s? Favorite cop movie of the 70s, go.
French Connection.
Really, French Connection. You know what's interesting about that? Hey, Brett, hold on, I got a question for you. What's your favorite big budget horror movie from the 70s?
Yeah, I think you're choosing for the Exorcist here.
Exorcist. You can't say that The Exorcist isn't the best big-budget horror movie of the 70s, and you can't say French Connection isn't the best...
movie of all time.
...cop film of the 70s. But well, you know what I would say? You know what movie makes those movies look like pieces of shit? Fucking 1980s Cruising. Same director, but you know what? He learned a few things since those little trivial films of his past, okay?
So you're saying Cruising is better than The Exorcist and The French Connection?
I'm saying it's better than one of those.
Is it after both of these?
Mm-hmm. 1980.
Really?
Yeah, this is... he made a couple movies in between that, for different reasons, didn't really hit that big. This movie was a gigantic
failure.
This
is going to be incredible, then.
I think it's great.
It's going to be a great movie, yeah.
It's like, a cop... horror movie. That's
Exorcist
the thing.
Exorcist and French Connection?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it better be good. It better be good because I'm so sick, I don't even know what I'm saying.
Oh my god.
This movie better be good or else the Ramblers will give it their customary shame, shame, shame.
Yeah.
So let's hope that we don't have to post that on our
wag our fingers at it. And
shame, shame, shame list.
Well, I think this movie would like it if we wagged our fingers in it.
Well, I haven't seen it yet, but there will definitely be some tongues wagging.
I hope you guys like it. It's a pretty crazy movie. Like, in all honesty, it's a really strange movie that, I don't know. They really, this is the only movie that I feel like is like this, especially that was made by
Do you wish that Brian De Palma had directed it?
No.
You don't think it would have worked, or
I think Brian De Palma's Cruising is Dress to Kill.
Okay,
and I think that William Friedkin is maybe my favorite director of that decade of the 70s. Like
he was
those
good
guys,
in the 70s.
I mean, yeah, I feel like just between French Connection and Exorcist and a few of the other things I've seen, I don't know who really rivals him, except for maybe Coppola.
I had a couple Friedkin movies I was going to throw out there later, but
yeah, we can get to all that later.
Yeah, if this NyQuil doesn't overpowered me and Brett before the end of the movie. So, I guess I'm ready to take it for a spin, but not too fast of a spin, because I'm feeling kind of dizzy and
already.
Sick. Yeah. Too dizzy for this Dizzy Rambler.
Mm. Well, this is a controversial movie. It's a rewarding movie. I'm ready to take it for a spin myself, Brett. I'm gonna take it for a spin pretty soon.
Yeah, let's take it for a spin. Come on in. Everybody come to the show. It's about to begin. Talking movie shorts and shows and much more with all our friends. With the Dizzy fucking Ramblers, now it's time for the show to commence.
Well, asshole. We finally finished Cruising.
What a long, crazy night. Man, the things that have happened since the listeners could last hear us, it's been a pretty wild night, and it's not just because of the fisting scene.
No, yeah, I've had 3 trips to Walgreens alone tonight. We've watched this movie in, like, 15 parts, but we finally finished it. And
well, we is a loose term.
Yeah, we. I'm feeling a little better. I bought, on my 3rd trip to Walgreens, the Vanna White devotional handbook, and I went through her 12-step cleansing program and the techniques I've learned. Have really helped me feel better, but I'm
your
still
hair
not,
looks a lot better too.
Still not 100%. Oh, thanks.
Great ass, as Al Pacino would say.
Yeah, I'm still pretty low on energy, honestly, but I'm going to do my best to get through this morose podcast. And in a way, we've lost
Part of us.
A part of us, yeah. We have our first death on the Dizzy Ramblers podcast,
as far as I can tell.
Yeah. During the commercial break, Brett Trail passed away, and we just like to say
he wanted to give his body up to science, so we dumped it in the back alley. I hope it'll be cool for the next couple months watching him decompose, if he is dead. Otherwise, may he wake up comfortably tomorrow.
But unfortunately, that leaves a 3rd spot to fill. And
unfortunately, the only person we had to do that was the only other asshole who was still around the studio.
Oh, no.
It's good to be back, boys.
Oh, man. So, what are you going by these days? T, the trickster? Like, what?
Oh, they all work, baby.
So you're going to be here tonight filling in for Brett's spot. And
Brett's corpse.
For Brett's decomposing remains.
Yes, one man's garbage is another man's pickles and hot dogs. Speaking of which,
I've heard that one before.
Speaking of which, I need to eat my snack.
Trickster, I hate to disappoint you, but we haven't really progressed much since we last talked to you on air.
When was the last time we talked to him on air?
It's been quite a while. I'm always just in the back, you know, playing the songs and giving you guys music when you need it. I try to lay low, but you know, when opportunities arise such as this, I can't resist.
That's true. You know, actually, I feel like we had talked to him recently, but I guess it's just because we'd been talking to that other guy, T, who kind of reminds me of him.
Or janitor / floor manager.
Oh, plus, we've been talking to Brett a lot, too. Started.
We've been talking to Brett a lot, too.
Yeah, I mix up people. Yeah,
the three of them are pretty much interchangeable in my mind.
Our motley crew of characters here in the studio is more confusing to me than the cast of The Vampire Diaries. Like, I don't know who's who. I can't keep track of anybody. But no, what I was saying was, unfortunately, we haven't made much progress in either Brain Scan 2 or the prequel, whichever direction we go, or the Trickster Animated series. Trickster's Treats.
Oh, that's a segment for later, boys.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, no, the animated series based on your wacky adventures as a Saturday morning cartoon character, and I think we kind of built up for you last time. We might have some work done on that by the next time we talk to you, but we don't.
Well, actually, I wrote the pilot script.
Did you?
I wrote a pilot too. You go first.
Well, apparently, I'm the only one who's not up to speed on the work.
Oh, mine. I mean, mine's just a pretty simple. Like, it's kind of your standard, like supernatural detective story, and it's called Trickster the Child Rapist, and basically Trickster can sense when other dogs have been around, and then he can also rape kids. It's pretty, I have a whole thing. It's not it's not the story, it's the execution.
Oh, that's precious. Oh, mine was much more innocent. It was the Trickster on the Moon.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Was there some rape on the moon that you were investigating? Yeah.
No.
Or cause it?
No, Earth ran out of cheese, and they needed to get some more cheese.
Where's that going to go? How can you get a whole series out of that, Trickster?
No, that's just the first episode.
Yes, see, okay, well...
No, the trickster's like, I'm like a magical being. I can do different things. I can breathe in space. I can breathe underwater, so...
So it's just him going and breathing places that other people can't? So there's like an episode of him just like walking around a coral reef, being a douchebag like he usually is? I mean, sorry, not he, you, trickster.
TV writer, trickster. Yeah.
And the Dizzy Rambler.
Both of those pilots sound disturbing to me.
Why don't you go fucking iceberg?
And, you know, we like to have a lot of guests here on the Dizzy Ramblers. We have our wheel of guests that we spin every week, and we, you know, rotate around.
Sometimes it gets stuck on Charlie Metz for a few weeks.
A lot of weeks it gets stuck on Charlie Metz, it seems, but...
I heard he's coming by later tonight.
I don't think so. I have heard nothing about it.
I couldn't bear it.
But no, I just want to say, as far as guests go, I think you're going to be an entertaining haunt for the night. And,
thank you,
John. we haven't revealed this to Brett, rest in peace, or Sam.
What?
But, me and you have actually been working on a little, jam, a little new Dizzy Ramblers.
Indeed we have, yeah. John.
And, it's something that we've been working on since the pilot, really.
This is exactly like Lost.
Yeah, I suppose so. But, no, I think tonight's the night to premiere it. I think the new Dizzy Ramblers single is going to drop tonight.
I can't get it out of my head. I just love the song so much.
That's the title, I Can't Get It Out of My Head by the Dizzy Ramblers.
Parentheses, I just love it so much. Well, it's not the Dizzy Ramblers, is it? Because me and Brett aren't here. I just see
Dizzy Rambler.
Well, I mean, me and Brett aren't going to be singing on the song, are we?
it's got
so I guess it's just
Brett's vocal tracks.
It's a Dizzy Rambler and a guest, how about? We call it that. Dizzy Rambler featuring a guest, because I mean, I'm not involved, so what the fuck do I care?
Hey, I mean, Telephone can be both a Beyonce song and a Lady Gaga song, whatever you want it to be.
It's about the Ramblers, though, so that's about
it. Yeah, it's about all of us as a people.
I think you'll find it quite bearable.
It's about
this song, I'll tell you one thing.
It's about the Rambler Nation as a whole. That's what we're calling ourselves, the Rambler Nation.
Yes, it's for the masses, for the
Well, I just like Ramblers, to say to my masses, people that tune in for the Sam side of things, that believe me, trusting audience, unless this song is really good, I won't be giving it the Sam seal of approval.
You'll
okay?
be giving it the shame.
I'll be issuing the first shame to a Dizzy Rambler.
Yeah, who are you wearing today, Trickster?
Well, actually, if you allow me to remove my felt leather robe that I wear everywhere, you'll see I dressed up specially for the cruising podcast.
Oh, cool. Assless chaps.
Yes.
That's awesome. I like all the chains and the yellow hanky sticking out of the left pocket. What's that mean, Trickster?
Yellow and left means I like to give golden showers.
that's my favorite Beatles song, Golden Showers.
Oh, I don't think I've heard that one. I must have missed it.
It's off Abbey Road.
Ooh.
That's an interesting segue. You're talking about bandanas in your back pocket. We watched that movie where they revealed the rules to gay bandana lingo. Like, what color you have in your back pocket. You remember that?
Oh, yes. Oh, no, I love that movie.
Did you? Yeah, Trickster, what part of the movie did you come in the night? I can't remember.
I always watch the movies with you guys. I got a
stool. That's really great.
What? No. Since when?
No, I got.
You're like Al Pacino standing outside our window winking at us after you've been inside our apartment.
Wink. No, I rigged up a little monitor. I can watch them in my little studio.
Nothing personal, but I think let's cut the cord to that, and I don't feel comfortable with you watching movies.
You want the Trickster to sit in the dark?
Yeah, I think we'll get, whenever T comes back, we'll get him to go up there and into the ducts and clip that, because I don't think you should be watching the movies as we're watching him. That's just creepy to me.
That is pretty creepy.
But I'm a rambler.
You're an honorary rambler.
No, the only honorary rambler we have is Jesse Davis, all
right? Oh, you're right. Yeah, Jesse Davis is our only official honorary rambler. No one else has made that cut.
Well, I hope maybe this song, when you hear it, will change your mind.
Hey. Jesse Davis got honorary rambler from doing it once, and none of these other smucks have done it for doing it like... Charlie Mance can't even get a good for trying award that we give out after every show. Sam, mm-hmm. I know a lot of trivia about this movie. I looked it up 2 weeks ago when we first started talking about doing this podcast.
I thought you guys were going to play the song.
Oh, no, we're gonna... I think we're gonna build up to that. And,
oh, okay.
And,
I'm just kind of, like, excited to hear a song right now.
I mean, we just don't...
Oh, you kind of knocked down our spirits there.
Yeah, that kind of...
Grumpy Gus.
We were getting ready to do it.
You're making me want to hate it, both of you guys. I really... I hope I hate this song.
It's an inappropriate time because we're too cold, too low on spirits right now to premiere a new song. I feel like we have to get people...
Shift the momentum.
Energy
ain't gonna make it in this business then, baby.
Well, I think I know a little something about getting along in the Hollywood business. Thank you.
Sorry, yeah. Trickster. John, did you ever see the segment with Trickster on Entertainment Tonight? It's literally the only other piece of pop culture that includes the Trickster.
I've seen some of it. Or all of it, yeah.
It's really
I think you're talking about Trickster, not the Trickster.
Well, yeah, definitely. You just remind me of this guy in this movie called Brain Scan, named the Trickster. Or Trickster, I don't remember which one it is. Either way, you are a Trickster or the Trickster. So
you are a Trickster among Tricksters.
Or you are the Trickster among Tricksters. I don't know which one it is.
Or you are the Tricksters among the Tricksters.
Hey, any which way.
Whatever the case may be.
Yeah. That's who you are, and that's how
whatever the trick shall be.
Please, gentlemen, it's the Trickster.
Oh, man. Hey, Trickster?
The Trickster. Please.
Hey, the Trickster?
Yes.
Man, there's this episode I really want you to be on, actually. I think it'd be great if you were here, because it's going to be a week that Brett is out of town, so we'll be having Richard Lester here.
Well, I mean, Brett's always going to be out of town now.
Wait, Brett...
He wasn't moving. I don't know. I think he's gone.
Well, assuming Brett's dead, then...
Which I do.
Well, then this would be a really good episode for you. If Freddy's Dead, the Final Nightmare podcast we're going to be doing with Richard Lester.
I think the Trickster should stop by and say a few things, definitely.
Well, I'd be honored. You know I'm always here, John, so...
Well, but you might
just
not be here.
A little bell.
You might not be here in October when we do those podcasts.
I'll get you a little bell, John.
Your contract is only
John,
through...
John, let me get you a bell. Hold on.
Your contract is only through the summer, the Trickster. And,
you ring it.
You're not up for renewal.
Bing! I'll say, yes, John, I am here to podcast with you.
So, hey, the Trickster, what did you think of the movie Cruising?
Cruising.
That we watched.
I loved the stalking.
There was a lot of stalking in
there
that
movie. There was stalking, there was lurking, there was leering.
And everyone does a lot of it. The characters, Al Pacino does it, the bad guys do it, the cops do it. Everyone lurks, creeps, stalks, and...
Sleeps.
And slits. Everybody slits somebody open. There's a lot of stabbing in the
love
movie.
The knife.
It was a really interesting movie. It definitely, at the end, I was wanting it to get a lot crazier than it got. But there were definitely times it had me guessing. And
spoiler alert.
I guess we never really knew who the real killer was.
Yeah, I think one of the best parts about this movie to talk about is the fact that it's a movie where you really don't know who the killer is in the end. And I think that's a pretty awesome aspect to it. So spoiler alert, you don't know who the killer is in the end. I think that's unique among, like...
movies?
Yeah, any kind of movie like this. And I think it's also unique that it sort of starts to point to Al Pacino as being one of the killers by the end of it.
Really?
I'd say so, yeah.
I was disturbed by that scene where you think Al Pacino is killed... Not killed, but stabbed the real killer and he's going to jail. Although I did it. I had my suspicions. And then all of a sudden, like, Paul Sorvino gets a call and it's another killing and it's like... Yeah, just the way they did that scene was super creepy and disturbing to me. And I got chills during that part, and I was like, I was super into that scene. But there, the rest of the movie, I wouldn't necessarily... It was just crazy. It was a crazy movie.
And I think it was really hurt by you having to stop it 15 times to go to Walgreens. And
maybe.
Brett dying halfway through.
I mean, we still finished it. We made the pact that if any of us died...
When we started it, you guys liked it a lot more. Well, you and the dead Brett... I feel like the first time around, you guys were way into it, and then when we started it back up, you guys just thought it was some dumb gay movie.
No, I wasn't way into it the first time.
Oh, man.
No, I wasn't.
How dare you?
I wasn't.
How dare you?
No, I wasn't.
How dare you?
I made a note to my phone about what I thought about the movie so far, and so I caught myself up and we picked it back up.
What'd you say, John?
I said,
read the note.
I mean, I don't have it anymore.
It's pretty convenient.
But it was just trust me that I
read
said,
the notes.
I mean, there is no note. There's never been any note.
Thank you. We didn't even have to get a big black guy with a cowboy hat to slap you to get that out of you.
Well, I enjoyed that part of the movie, and I enjoyed other things in the movie. But
I've developed a couple theories.
It is a movie that's appropriate for developing theories on, because you don't have clear-cut answers about a lot of things. So this really is the cruising cast. That's a term you're going to be hearing.
I'll never say that.
Hashtag cruising cast. Anyway.
What are your theories, Trickster?
The bizarre scene where interrogation scene, they're shaking down our hero cop undercover with his gay lover. And the shakedown begins to get real when they open a door revealing a large black man in a jockstrap and a cowboy hat.
Very large.
Very large. And the size of two men.
And very
the size
and
of two black.
Very nude. Very nude. And, literally wearing nothing but that jockstrap and a cowboy hat.
And he walks over and he slaps Al Pacino.
Hard.
And real hard. Knocks him out of his chair. And he's all like, "Who's that guy?" And then later on, he comes back and he slaps somebody else. I think...
Trickster, I think you're doing a terrible job of describing this.
No, I think... right? No, well, how... I was very descriptive for our audience. And anyways...
Yeah, I mean, I think the guy...
Because I'm setting it up, because they gotta know, right?
The guy that he slaps, the second guy he slaps, just slaps him again and again and again, and he's, like, bleeding out of his face, and he's just like, "Who is that guy?" And the audience is just like, "Yeah, who is that guy? Who the fuck could that guy be?" And so who is that guy, Trickster?
It makes no sense they would have a large nude man to slap people around. So I think that was just a large, brutal cop. And Al Pacino was seeing him without his clothes on. We are seeing that scene through Al Pacino's newly gay eye.
I need you to explain this more. I'm totally confused by everything that you just said, Trickster. You really are a trickster among tricksters, because I'm totally tricked.
Trickster among communication, it seems. The trickster among communication.
So you think Al Pacino saw a nude, large black man slap him in a diaper, and...
Yes. And well, it wasn't a diaper, it was a jockstrap.
Well, I know, but...
And he was seeing him in that way because he was attracted to him.
But...
Because he is...
Because it is true. This is no theory. Throughout the movie, Al Pacino does start to become gay. See, the whole... Did we explain the plot really ever?
No, that's why I was confused for our listeners. I don't think they have a good enough understanding of the plot.
Okay, so there's a bunch of murders in Gay Town. So police have Al Pacino pretend to be a gay... And then slowly becomes more and more gay.
Well, yeah, I wrote down stuff
as other people get killed and gay.
Yeah, what I wanted to talk about was, did this movie turn Al Pacino gay?
Yes, in real life, mind you.
Yeah, and did this movie turn Al Pacino's character gay? Those are two things I wanted to his character and Al Pacino both, I think, get gayer and gayer throughout the movie as he goes, and he stays undercover. And so I guess looking from that standpoint, yeah, I could see how Al Pacino might have hallucinated or imagined that dude coming in.
So yes.
So I can understand that now.
The man was clothes. He saw them with no pants. And later on, the roommate, his when he opens the door in his underwear, he was also wearing pants. But Al Pacino was seeing him with no pants.
Please.
The end of the movie, when our hero cop stabs a guy that he was about to blow. And that is because he hadn't done anything gay yet, right?
No, he hadn't done anything gay yet.
And he was too scared to make that leap into that world that was beckoning to him. So he stabbed an innocent man who just was looking forward to get blowed.
So what you're saying right now, Trickster, if I can paraphrase, is that gay people are more prone to violence? Is that what I can officially write down and say that the Trickster
is... That's not what I'm saying at all. You're twisting my words, and I am the Trickster.
So it must mean I must be the Ultra Trickster if I can trick the Trickster.
You can't trick the Trickster.
But can you treat the Trickster?
The Trickster likes treats. John? You can treat the Trickster to a treat.
John, help me.
No, I'm looking at all my notes here, and it was a very gay movie, definitely. Like, every gay thing imagined when that movie happened. And,
I mean, yeah, that's the point of it.
And it was crazy. Like, there were some crazy moments. I don't even know where to begin with some of these crazy gay moments.
Well, I can start with a little bit of something I'm going to say.
Okay.
So, I feel like this movie's kind of like a lot like a Lucio Fulci movie. Like, it feels like it's, like, down in dirty New York, and the plot line is kind of, like, it's New York Ripper or a couple other Lucio Fulci movies.
Lucio Fulci meets Brian De Palma.
I feel like, yeah, I feel like that's fair, really. And just the kind of style it's in and stuff, and one of the other things that's really makes it feel like an Italian exploitation movie, because this really feels more like an exploitation movie than most Hollywood movies, and this was, like, you know, a good-sized, budgeted movie with Al Pacino in his prime. But one of the things that makes it feel even cheaper is the fact that it's all dubbed. You know, like, the entire movie is pretty much dubbed over, and the voices always sound kind of canned. And I feel like that's one thing that makes it feel like an exploitation movie. But the reason why that happened is because gay groups across all of New York protested this movie so much, they really hated it so much, that for every time they shot anywhere, whether it was inside or outside, there would just be hundreds of gay protesters outside screaming and booing the entire time, trying to ruin everything.
What? Is serious?
Yeah, and like in scenes, like when they're upstairs in the apartment, the gay protesters would get on the roof across the street with like reflective things to mess with like the light reading and stuff in the room, and they just did everything they could to mess this up. And like this movie had like so many cops on hand just to handle that, like just like constantly.
That's insane.
Well, you know, that's actually where I earned my name, the Trickster.
When you were protesting cruising?
Yes, I was on the roof messing with the lights.
That's pretty clever, Trickster. I feel like your tricks have gotten a lot lamer.
Well, that would have been young Trickster,
it's a
right?
Treat to be tricked by me.
That would have been like 70s Trickster.
It's a treat to be tricked by me.
Trickster with longer hair and...
Gayer clothes,
yeah.
I think current Trickster is 70s Trickster.
No, I picked a look and stuck with it.
And that's what I think. That's what Al Pacino is struggling with in this movie, is picking a look and sticking with it.
I mean, he's struggling with a lot of things, whether or not he should tell his girlfriend Karen Allen that he's gay. He struggles with going to Gay Hill and stalking all the gay dudes on the hill.
I was really interested in seeing his reaction to his wife in the cop outfit.
Well, yeah, his wife or girlfriend or whatever Karen Allen is puts on all his gay gear at the end of the movie. And I thought the killer was going to, like, think that was Al Pacino and stab her.
Those are, I mean, it's definitely, like, those are the exact clothes that the killer wears, too. The hat and everything. And
oh, you're right. That's really...
Pacino doesn't really even have that hat until the very end of the movie, I think. He starts to have that hat, but I'm pretty sure he doesn't, because it has that eagle on it and everything.
Yeah, it's kind of disturbing. That's chilling. If it wasn't so goofy and weird at times, that it has really disturbing parts to it that kind of creep me out. I feel like if the whole thing stuck to being creepy, that I'd find that to be a really scary movie.
Well, maybe seeing it segmented into many parts kind of ruins the momentum.
No, it really didn't. It really didn't. I think it was okay movie, definitely. But it wasn't as intense.
Better than The Exorcist!
It wasn't as intense as... I'll give you that one. It wasn't as intense as...
fuck you.
I wanted.
Better than French Connection.
But it definitely had... It definitely had a couple of really creepy moments for me that I loved, and it had some fun moments. It had a lot of fun, giant black dudes in nothing slapping Al Pacino. Yeah, it happened every 5 minutes. As a William Friedkin movie, I liked it. My favorite Friedkin movie is going to be French Connection.
Better than French Connection.
I don't think anyone would ever top that. But
I think he has twice.
So obviously yours would be Exorcist.
That or. The Brinks job. Just kidding, that movie sucks.
He did. Did you ever see Deal of the Century? He did with Chevy Chase.
No, I've been wanting to see one really badly. I think I'm going to love it.
I hope you don't.
I hope I do.
And then, of course, Sorcerer, with here he reteamed with Roy Scheider.
A remake of...
I know you're really excited about it, but that movie doesn't exist because it's like so... no one's seen it, I guess.
I mean, it sucks because it's never been released on DVD in any way, and I've been champing at the bit to see it.
You call Roy Scheider on the phone every day and like bother him about it.
Yeah, it's like the Twilight Zone episode where the power line or the telephone line's down over the grave. I'm talking to Roy Scheider every day on the phone. You ever seen that one, Trickster?
No, I can't say that I have.
Trickster.
Watch so much TV.
Yeah, Trickster, what type of stuff do you watch? That's what I'm wondering. Like, what type of movies and TV do you watch? Besides, I'm sure you watch. I'm sure you love Brain Scan since that's kind of similar to your life a little bit.
No,
I can see similarities.
I watch Brain Scan a lot.
Do you watch Weird Science, the TV series?
I watch Weird Science. Yes, no, I watch Weird Science, the TV series, but not the movie.
Mm-hmm.
You're really against the movie.
I actually saw the show first.
Hey, and why have corned beef when you can have cabbage? Hmm? Am I right?
That's what the kids are saying.
Thank you.
That reminds me of my spell I had in Ireland.
Wait, are you the leprechaun?
Yeah, are we doing the Leprechaun in the Hood podcast all over again? Is this my worst nightmare relived?
It's about as good.
Are we going to have to get drunk bitch on the phone? Trickster, have you met Drunk Bitch? Not that you're going to meet her tonight, but...
Oh, everyone loves Drunk Bitch. I remember that. That's a classic segment, right?
Yeah, people like that one.
Yes.
People like drunk anything.
That's what the kiddies talk about in the playground.
The most popular characters tend to be drunk, it seems.
Trickster, what do you think?
Yeah, but Trickster, no, I want to know what entertainment Trickster watches.
Do a lot of wrestling.
That makes sense.
Hot dog eating contests.
All right. Go ahead, Sam.
Hey, Trickster.
Yes.
Which do you like better, French Connection or Cruising? You've seen them both. Which one do you like better?
I must say Cruising.
What?
Yes.
If Brett was alive, he would turn over in his grave if he heard you say that. Like, Brett loved the French Connection.
Well, I can't speak for Brett, but I can say that Cruising had a lot more death.
Mm-hmm.
But the French Connection,
a lot more stabbings. I like watching steel. But
French Connection is Gene Hackman at his best. It's just that's an awesome movie. Awesome chase scenes. Awesome crime movie.
What a bore.
Awesome scene.
What a fucking bore.
Awesome. Oh, I wish not to.
Awesome movie. Awesome movie of people eating constantly. Eating delicious.
That's the only good part.
Delicious looking.
That's my
food.
Favorite part. That's the only reason I second guessed my answer.
I like French Connection 1. I love French Connection 1. I like French Connection 2.
French Connection 2 is the superior film.
What? I don't want to talk about this anymore. Trickster, just say something witty.
I didn't even know there was a French Connection 2.
It's awesome.
There you go. It stars
Gene Hackman. Again. He's at it again, baby. Wa-bam.
A John Shaw catchphrase.
Classic. Ramblers.
Trickster and Sam, do you guys have any idea what the highest grossing lesbian / gay movie is that was ever made? Let Trickster guess first, because I think, Sam, you might be more familiar with the box office mojo list.
Oh, you have to give me a minute to think of that.
Yeah. Think about it.
I've seen a lot of gay movies.
No, I bet you have, Trickster.
Well, not these ones on the internet don't count, Trickster.
Okay. There's a lot less than I thought then.
Alright. Trickster, you gotta learn, if you're gonna take Brett's place, you gotta learn to be Brett, think like Brett,
act like Brett,
feel like Brett, sing like Brett, play guitar like Brett.
We hope so, or else this song's gonna suck and I'm giving you the shame.
Well, I did work out with Trickster, not Brett, so. Yeah. I made a good call on that one. I had to choose, and I chose Trickster for some reason, even though he's notoriously unreliable. And you can't trust what he says, everything's like a trick to him, or something.
Anyway, what is your guess for the gayest high grossing
movie?
Yeah,
Trickster, just
please.
Don't buzz in, just tell us your pick.
Alright, Carrot Top's chairman of the board.
Which the Ramblers will be podcasting on at some point.
Ooh, I can't wait.
Not necessarily this season, but at some point in the future, in the not too distant future, as they say in the X-Men. Sam.
No, I mean, that's a funny joke and everything, but I know the real highest grossing gay movie ever.
Yes.
Avatar.
Well, I can't believe neither of you said Brokeback Mountain, but...
That's what I would have guessed, but I don't think that... Or that no, that's not what I would have guessed, actually. That's what I thought first off, but that definitely wouldn't be it. Let me actually think of what this would be. I was just thinking of a joke one the whole time. highest grossing gay movie. The movie about gay subject matter that grossed the highest amount.
Yeah, not the highest grossing gay movie, because there's a lot of gay movies out there. Not that I want to advocate the use of that phrase, but...
So we're not talking about gay in the pejorative, John?
We're talking about gay in the Al Pacino getting on your knees mm-hmm. upside down while you're 69-y.
So we're talking about the kind of gay that gives me a boner. Which movie gave me a boner and got the most money? No, I have no idea. This sucks. I have no idea what this could possibly be. Boys Don't Cry. I don't know. It's not that.
It's from the 90s. If that narrows it down.
Oh, Philadelphia.
That'd be a good guess, but wrong.
Damn it. What is it?
Something that is kind of surprising, and possibly overrated.
La Cage Fall, the American version of The Birdcage.
Did The Birdcage, yes. That overrated was what clued you into that one?
I didn't hear you say overrated, but
that's what I was saying.
If I did, that would be... that would definitely be it.
Yeah, I mean, Birdcage is alright, but I think it's a little overrated. Brett, have you ever seen that?
Birdcage is hilarious.
The Trickster.
The Birdcage is hilarious.
Dude, like when Robin Williams is like, fussy, 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 or whatever.
Like, my favorite line is, I pierced the toast!
He says that a lot.
Yeah, yes, and he's like, no, you're a man, you smear the butter. You smear the butter. Oh, I pierced the toast. I laughed.
I hate that movie.
Gay gem from the 90s. But I'm a cheerleader. That one is up.
That's a good one.
That's fun.
Oh, definitely, yeah.
I don't like that one. Sorry, Trickster.
No, you don't need to apologize, John. You're just being you, you beautiful star.
Man, yeah. Speaking of things in gay culture I don't like, I think Will and Grace is pretty stupid. You guys ever seen that?
Enough to think that it's stupid.
I feel like I've seen about 85% of that series.
I want to see the Gene Wilder episodes. I've never watched those, but those I would like cool. to... Because those are like his close to, if not his last, appearances in film.
Those are the last thing he's ever done, I'm almost certain.
Okay, I'd agree. I think so.
But, I don't know. I feel like for a show that get a lot of like credit for putting gay people on TV, I feel like they're like... blackface characters, like that gay guy who just acts like a complete faggot, you know?
You know what gay show I miss? And this is going back to the 90s too. This is John Shaw nostalgia for you.
Alex Mack.
The Rosie O'Donnell Show.
You missed that show?
No, I don't.
She wasn't gay until she was off the air.
But doesn't it just make you miss that show? That terrible, terrible show?
I feel like I've seen 85% of that show. I watched it every day when I came home from school.
Really?
I remember the September 11th episode. Well, it wasn't September 11th. It was like 2 months later.
If I saw that, I would tear up because that would just be like such a perfect, return to my childhood when things were more innocent and happier and when I didn't hate everyone so much. And
I hate everyone then.
I feel lucky on Brett's part, just the fact that he's dead and away from my hatred now. Like, Not one day passed where Brett didn't feel the fiery rage of my fury towards him. And,
that's true, he's a dick.
I regret that. But he's dead now, and I guess all we can do is mourn and move on. And Trickster, I'm glad to have you here, buddy.
It's good to be here, buddy. I've never had anyone call me buddy before.
Say, you didn't have anything to do with you didn't have anything to do with Brett's death, did you? Chris, I've never seen you actually kill anyone before. Can we please talk about the club in Cruising that was called The Ramble?
There was a club called The Ramble.
No, there wasn't. The
there club... was a hotel called The Ramble.
Was that what it was?
No, it was just...
Yes,
it's
a motel.
Just, no, it's a Holiday Inn. No, it's the outside parts of Central Park in the bushes.
What?
The Ramble, yeah.
What? I thought, like, the whole...
Chris said it was a part of Central Park.
That's how you guys got your name, right?
Wow. Yeah. I was prepared to talk for... I wrote 25 minutes of material on a club called The Ramble, and now that it's not that, I'm done for the night. My notes are up. Let's do the song, Trickster.
Do it, Trickster!
Trickster sure gets tricked easily. I thought you never
you can't trick the Trickster.
Maybe it was
I was tricking you.
Sam, I wonder which of this trivia that I wrote down when I did my research a couple weeks ago, you know. I feel like you know at least half.
light on me, Big Daddy.
This movie originally had an X rating.
Douchebag of him.
William Friedkin claims to have taken cruising before the MPAA board 50 times and deleted 40 minutes of footage that is now lost, and believed most of the scenes supposedly contained graphic sexuality.
39 of those minutes were, yeah, was the fisting scene.
Yeah, graphic sexuality at some of the S&M clubs.
I've heard about that.
But yeah, 50 times to get it down
in 40 minutes to make it not be X. Like, that's insane. I feel like...
So this movie would have... Well, that would have been like 2 hours and 20 minutes. That would have been like not that long. That's understandable, I guess.
Because Exorcist is pretty long. And yeah, it is. Is kind of long, too.
Fridge Connection seems longer than it is.
That's true.
It's under 2 hours.
Hello.
Which you'd never guess if you watched the movie. The other major trivia thing I wrote down was, do you know who almost played Al Pacino's role? Which, I'm glad he didn't, because I don't like this guy. Richard Gere.
Oh, thank God.
Trickster, you're not a Richard Gere fan?
Oh, is anybody?
I mean, some people seem to be, yeah.
Not anymore.
I hear people dying off. Thank goodness. Yes. Praise Buddha for that one.
Richard Gere fans and Barry Manilow fans. Pretty much the same thing to me.
Man, when are people going to be ready to take a chance again on...
ABBA.
Barry Manilow. on ABBA, yeah.
What do you guys think about... I'm sorry to make this... Whatever. What do you guys think about... all that protesting the gays did for this movie? Do you think they had the right to do that? Or do you think that it's just like over the line, being that they didn't even know what the movie was about?
Well, yeah, I think they had the right to do that, but just because you have the right to do something doesn't mean it's justified. Mm. You have the right to scream at somebody's face, and I mean, that's our God-given Bill of Rights, given rights, but no, that doesn't mean it's justified to do something. Mm. So no, I don't think they should have. I think a lot of stuff like that is like, when it's like film especially, it's just like, it's art, it's not like, I don't know, leave people alone, let them do their thing.
That really was something that kind of buried this movie. This movie didn't do well.
Yeah, I've never heard of this until you start talking about when you watched it whenever ago.
Few people have, I feel like.
I expected to hear the other way around. I was going to say, I think it's good for the movies to give them, you know, publicity. Mm. But perhaps if it really stifled the... outcome, which I couldn't see being too popular, given
Well, it was ahead of its time, kind of, too.
Mm-hmm. Oh, certainly. Back then, the movie being released like this...
Yeah, surely. That would have been pretty explicit back in the 1980s. That would have been pretty hardcore to have, like... Oh, like the opening scene, not the opening scene, but one of the earliest scenes is, like, the killer and another gay dude. They go back to their apartment, like, do all this S&M stuff, and it's just, like, crazy. And, like, they're all, gay and stuff.
No, the trickster wasn't taking his parents to that movie.
No, I would not have been taking my parents to it either.
But I think, I don't know, it's just as out there as... The Exorcist or something like
that. Well, yeah.
Exorcist is a pretty... intensity, definitely. Yeah. But subject matter and...
Well, I think that the devil certainly was a pretty taboo topic in 1973.
Oh, that's true.
I want to have more. I want to have more intellectual debates with a trickster like this. This is really getting me fueled up.
No, you serve a point. Yeah, I know. He seems to really have a knack for shoving America's face what they don't want.
That's true.
Yeah, you're right. Karen Allen is the most attractive in this that I've ever seen her in.
I think Karen Allen's so hot until, like, this.
Oh,
I mean,
really?
This is the last, and then, like, after that, she just hits a wall.
Al Pacino's wife?
Yeah, she's from...
She was pretty.
I never think Karen Allen's really that attractive. Like, even in Raiders,
Yeah, she's Indy's love interest in Raiders of the Lost Ark, and she's in Animal House, and
I haven't seen any of those.
I have some photographs right here, Trickster. 1979 they were taken, of Trickster with an afro, and,
that hair!
Your wardrobe looks pretty much the same, actually. But you're actually one of the protesters outside the set of Cruising. That looks like Al Pacino in the Gay Hill scene that they're shooting outside. How do you explain that one?
Oh, I have no explaining to do. I feel justified in my actions. I felt like I was doing the right thing. I hadn't heard what the movie was going to be about, but I assumed the worst.
An Italian guy playing a gay guy. How offensive is that, right?
Oh, I mean, seriously, what are we supposed to be? A bunch of slick-haired idiots? Terrible.
Well, I guess we could let it slide this time. I had a private investigator investigate your past, and coincidentally, this came up. Anywho.
Did you guys know that William Friedkin made another gay movie earlier?
No.
He made...
Was it Sorcerer?
No. before French Connection, I think maybe the movie directly before that, which actually was a hit at the time, a movie called The Boys in the Band.
Wait, Boys in the Band was a hit or French Connection was a hit?
Well, they both were. Boys in the Band, I mean, a hit in terms of being a nobody filmmaker and having a movie get noticed and having him get French Connection off of that.
Oh, hmm.
Boys in the Band, though, was a movie, I think around, like, 69, maybe.
Boys in the Band?
Yeah.
I'm gonna look this up.
Maybe around 69, I think it was 69. So, I think it was big ol' sloppy 69.
What was the name of the movie? Boys in the Hood?
Yes, with a Z.
Yeah, oh, hey, I'm way ahead of you.
Wait. What year was that?
It was a bunch of hair shoved down your throat, 69. It was coughing up a pubic hair, 69. Oh!
You're too much, Sam.
I mean, I'm pretty... I like to fancy myself after Trickster, the character from Brain Scan. I think he's a pretty good character, too.
Tempers fray and true selves are revealed when a heterosexual is accidentally invited to a homosexual party. That's what that's about? Is it a comedy?
Sounds like it's a lot like...
Is it a comedy?
I think it's a dramedy.
The tagline just says, "The boys in the band is not a musical." That's the tagline.
Damn it, I wish you'd give me 5 seconds. I could have thought of that.
Oh, thing. Really?
Yeah.
Well, I believe you.
No.
If you say it. If you
so
if you
written.
Rambler swear it. Yeah, so it is written, so it shall be.
That's what, okay,
that's what we say around the studio.
You know what I mean? So it was written, so it shall be. If you want to really be a rambler, Trickster.
Yes.
Well, then, there you go.
I wasn't paying attention, though. I was just staring at John's phone.
So that was interesting. Made two gay movies. Wonder if that guy's gay. That's all I have to say.
That, no, yeah, I...
Well, his last name is Freakin'.
Hey-o.
Yeah. Trickster, we should do a new segment with you.
Man to please, man to please. John is looking for a man to please. Man to please, man to please. Everybody's looking for a man to please.
So, Trickster, the reason I'm introducing this segment is because Amanda Bynes has gone a little crazy lately. Basically, a couple years ago, she retired on Twitter.
Oh, that was so dramatic.
And then 4 months later, she was like, "I'm not retired anymore." But
in mind, this is all on Twitter. She's saying
yeah,
these things.
But she hasn't done any more movies or TV or anything since. So, first of all, she should have just stayed retired and not have looked twice as stupid, but she unretired and has done nothing since. Now she's working on clothing line or some stupid shit, but over the last year and a half, she has started to have all these weird instances happen to where she, like, locks herself, Lindsay Lohan type stuff, where she, like, locks herself in the bathroom and won't come out at, like, a bakery.
She getting into accidents and DUIs for a little while?
Yes, she had four, not DUIs, she had one DUI, she didn't used to be, she used to be a good girl, and she's always said that she doesn't really drink and party, so I think she just smokes or does other drugs now, but, like, at first she just had a pot thing, and there's a picture of her taken of her doing pot, and then she had like four hit and runs, and like very Lindsay Lohan-esque. And
she threw a cartwheel last week.
I bet she has a lot more.
Well, yeah, no, it gets worse. It gets worse. Trickster, the Trickster. It gets worse. Now she's to the point where it's either she's doing a lot of weed or else she's on other hardcore shit because she is doing really crazy stupid shit. Like she is all ghetto now. Like she only dates black guys now. And she wears a wig sometimes and like her hair.
Does she have an alter ego?
Probably.
That comes with the wig.
Anyway, like Sam said a minute ago, she did a somersault.
Amanda Boones.
She did a somersault. Her wig fell off. And, like, she's all... Uh-oh. She got her cheeks pierced, and, like, she's just saying really weird shit. Anyway, she's a train wreck. She's a real Lindsay Lohan, but I love her. I love her to death. So, on this segment, Amanda, please,
We're going to be reading highlights of Amanda Bynes' Twitter account. This is what got it started. I told Sam this when this happened. And then ever since, I've just been reading your Twitter every day or anytime I see
it. And, like,
him.
This one was in the news, too. Like, yeah, it was. This was a tweet that was heard around the world.
So we all love the rapper Drake.
Yeah, you a big Drake fan?
Oh, I can't stand him.
Oh, my God. I love Drake, just like you, the trickster. Like, you and me are the peas in the pod. And you know who else loves Drake? Amanda Bynes, because on some date, she tweeted, I want Drake to murder my vagina.
Brett, I mean, trickster.
Sorry. Get over it.
I know.
You're in denial.
I am in denial.
Denial ain't just a river in the...
I keep saying Brett because I want to tell Brett these things, but I had to tell the trickster instead. The trickster, I don't think you're ready for what is in store for you, based on your surprise and what you heard with that tweet.
Tell you what, if I was on a date, I'd like to get that kind of tweet.
No, so this is the real Amanda Bynes. These are all authentic, all that cast member Amanda Bynes tweets. This is what she's saying these days. At Perez Hilton. Paris nice. Hilton is ugly, has never had a hot boyfriend. He makes being gay look bad. No one wants to be a single parent because no man wants them. That's her tweet at Celebrity Perez Hilton. Here's another one at Perez with Hilton. Leave me alone. You are the scum of the earth. Pick better photos, fucker. The last couple weeks she's been complaining about people taking photos of her that make her look bad. Here's something that she issued to everyone. I don't speak to my parents anymore. They don't talk to reporters on my behalf. Don't believe anything you read about me unless I tweet it. So her Twitter is the only reliable thing Amanda Bynes wants you to go by. My friends don't speak on my behalf either. Please don't read anything about me needing help. That offends me. Follow me on Twitter.
Man, I wish you... you know what? As good as you are, the trickster, and you're not very good, I really wish Amanda Bynes would be our third Dizzy Rambler now that Brett's dead. Like, that'd be awesome. I think she could just talk in tweets and you could just read them out loud.
Well, like Amanda Bynes, don't believe anything you hear from me unless it's in my tweets.
Wait, yeah. You're saying you have a Twitter account?
Yeah. I do.
Tell us about that. Let's interrupt this Amanda Bynes, Amanda Please shit.
No, I just loaded it up, it's a TeriderSmith, T-Rider Smith. At twitter.com or whatever.
Sounds like you're really mastering the medium. How's it going so far?
It's going pretty well. I've learned how to tweet.
Yeah, you're new to Twitter.
That's a pretty essential part of it, I think.
Yeah. No, yes. I know how to post links.
Sweet.
I know how to tweet at people, but I'm still trying to figure out how to get them to push my tweets along. But I'm gonna get there.
Man, I believe in you, trickster, when it comes to being able to use Twitter.
Yes. No.
A 12-year-old stupid ass. I don't want to say cunt.
Please do. I love that word. It makes my ears tickle.
Wait. Do all the Ramblers love the word cunt?
Well, if the trickster's a new Rambler, then I guess that's unanimous.
I thought that's what you wanted. You were talking like he was already. Stepping on top of Jesse Davis's shoulders.
Well, I mean, Jesse
Davis
can't.
Please, I'm better
make...
than that clown.
Yeah, hold on. I think we should. You know what? I think we should really have the trickster try to psych out Jesse right now and tell him why you're gonna get the spot, man. If Brett's dead, which we all think he is, then you should be the next Rambler. I'm backing you. So you gotta convince Johnny. You gotta convince him that why
no,
Jesse.
I've clearly got it. Look, what does he do? He comes around, and he comments, and he talks about what you guys watch and whatnot. I do that, but I bring more. I bring flair. I bring the big velvet suit. I bring my skills, my karate chops.
Look at that. Oh, my God. Did you see that, John?
I saw it.
I bring the trickster bus.
It's quite a loud bus.
Yes. No, we can take rides in it.
Tell you the truth, honestly, Trickster, I feel like you set foot in that bus, you get herpes. And that's just like, I don't know, that's just the way it smells.
It has something, but I can't go into that yet. I'm coming for you, Jesse. I'm going to be the honorary Rambler. Trickster, the Trickster, the Trickster, the Trickster, the Trickster.
This is really awesome.
Whoa, was that the new song? Is that?
No.
It was awesome.
This is really awesome to have all this stuff wrapped up in this Amanda Please segment, honestly. The Trickster and Jesse and new song. I can't handle it. And I can't handle these tweets I'm so excited about. Amanda Bynes said, if I'm not following you on Twitter, I hate you. When someone loves you, the way they say your name is different. You know that your name is safe in their mouth.
John.
What the fuck does that mean? I don't care who kissed you first, as long as I kiss you last. That's just classy.
Yes, I need to start retweeting some of her,
Oh yeah, I've been retweeting Amanda Bynes constantly since I stumbled onto this.
Yeah, I try to keep mine scary, so I think this is very scary.
No, I have to admit, I've been checking out your Twitter.
What do you think?
A little creepy, honestly. Sometimes it spooks me out a little bit, much like cruising creeped me out. The Trickster, your T-Rider Smith, your Twitter account is a lot like the movie Cruising, because sometimes it's kind of goofy and fun, and then other times I'm really creeped out and disturbed, and I don't really know if I'm safe or not. And I think that's, for anyone who wants something like that, even more entertaining than the Dizzy Rambler's own Twitter account, I think T-Rider Smith is who you want to go to for entertainment.
I thank you for it. I think it's quite a compliment I've had on this new medium I'm trying out.
You're a frontiersman in that respect.
Yes.
I'm going to close out the Amanda Please segment today with this. I love the beautiful Kardashian sisters. I wish E picked better photographs of me. I feel pregnant when I'm fat. I'm working out constantly. And that's Amanda Please, our new segment.
Amanda Please.
Hey, Trickster, you're master of the gay handkerchief, correct?
Yeah, I want to talk about
this. Indeed I am. I can tell you everything you need to know.
Well, I've got a question. I thought about it during the movie, and I think about it every time I watch a benefit show now.
Yes.
Is Bruce Springsteen's cover of Born in the USA any sort of gay sign? The handkerchief that he has, the red handkerchief sticking out of the
left pocket.
Well, explain
these rules first. Trickster, just come on, keep doing it. Jesse Davis didn't bring these fucking gay handkerchief rules to court.
Okay, well, you're asking about the red handkerchief. And the red handkerchief is the intense handkerchief. So we got to start off light here.
Okay, that's fine.
I want to break it down.
Okay, because I'm dying here by that red one.
Okay, we got first we have the light blue handkerchief.
Mm-hmm.
And in the right pocket, that means you give blowjobs.
Okay.
If you put left pocket, that means you like to get a blowjob. Okay. And we got the green one.
Uh-huh.
I know you might think it stands for I want to get high.
No, I was thinking a booger one. I was thinking it was a booger.
Oh, you wish it was a booger. No, left pocket means you're a hustler. The right pocket
means what I am, baby.
You're a buyer, baby. You're a buyer if you're in the right pocket. Yes. Now, yellow handkerchief, left pocket, that means you give golden showers, baby. You like to piss on people.
That's my favorite Beatles song, I believe.
Yep, right pocket, it means you like to get pissed on. All right, now this red handkerchief that you're asking about.
I'm dying to hear about the red one. Please, tell me the answer. What is the red one?
Left pocket means you like to give blossoms. Right pocket means you like to get blossoms.
Wait, what's a blossom?
I hate describing it. It's when your asshole has been worn out so much that your intestines begin to show.
Wow, that's crazy.
Yes.
I guess only someone with a knowledge of gay knowledge would know that, the Trickster.
The Trickster does dabble.
So, Trickster, you're saying that Bruce Springsteen has a elephant trunk hanging out of his butthole? You're saying that Bruce Springsteen has he's pulled his sleeve through the shirt and he's got it dangling down like intestines out of an asshole, as far as you would say.
If it's in the right pocket, well.
I think you said,
right,
if the hanky fits, you must quit. Hey, John, here's a little French Connection trivia for you, fucking French Connection-loving asshole.
All right, go for it.
Did you know that the same detective who was the inspiration for Popeye Doyle was also the technical consultant in this movie? And he gave a lot of information on how Al Pacino's character should go?
Well, I guess you out-trivia'd my ass. I did not know that.
Boom. Good. End of segment. I win.
No, I mean, you should win. You've been promoting this movie for over a year, trying to get it, me and whoever in God's green earth consents to watch a movie for you, watch it, and...
I like it. I think it's a great movie.
I think it's
enjoyable.
I think it's an enjoyable movie. I think it's an enjoyable movie. I would watch it again. I don't think it's a great movie, but I think it's enjoyable.
The amount of movies I would watch again, I can count on two hands.
What do you think? What do you think? What do you think Brett would have thought of it? Do you think Brett would have wanted to watch it again, or do you think he would have given it the old shame, shame, shame?
I can't speak for Brett, so I just don't know.
You're not a good Brett
aficionado. You know more about gay trivia than you know about Brett Trail trivia.
What does that say about you?
As a friend of Brett Trail. Like, how you never really got to know the real Brett during your time in the studio with him, did you?
Come to think of it,
I always had my eyeball on this chair, so.
You caused him to.
I'm not saying that. I'm just.
It isn't all about Eve.
I'm taking advantage of the opportunity when it comes up, is all. Don't look at me like that.
The questions of how it came up, I think, is what's disturbing me. Hey guys, can I talk to you about my favorite, one of my favorite actors? Because Cruising really is one of my absolute top 250 favorite movies.
Really?
Top 250?
Yeah.
Yeah, sure, I'd say that, yeah. Because I'll tell you one thing. I've watched Cruising and French Connection each twice. First time I loved both of them. Second time, French Connection was alright. Cruising was still really good. So suck on that one, Johnny boy. Exorcist never gets old. But one of my favorite actors, one of my top 250 favorite actors is in this movie. And his name's not Al Pacino.
Was it that Dan Powers guy?
Surely it's not Paul Sorvino.
Nope. It's not Powers Booth or Paul Sorvino. It's Joe Spinell, the cop in the beginning, who is making gay guys blow him, and then he keeps on coming up in gay clubs and is a cop later on.
Who else was he?
Well, he's a really interesting actor. Basically, he's in all these different 70s movies, including, I think, one of the Godfather 2 and stuff. But most importantly, he stars in the movie Maniac, which is kind of just his tour de force. You guys ever seen Maniac?
Oh, that's on my to-watch list.
Oh, it's very good. It's just basically Joe Spinell as the star, as this crazy-ass killer. And he is, like, once you see him in that, it's really hard not to just think about it every time you see him on screen. He pops up a lot in the 70s and 80s, but he unfortunately died in the late 80s. But there's this amazing video of Steven Spielberg. When the Academy Award nominations are being announced in 1976 for Jaws, and he doesn't get announced for director, and he's like really bummed out, but Joe Spinell is there, and he just like makes it into a whole joke and stuff, and it's just really interesting.
Wait, is Spielberg not getting nominated for Jaws video?
For director. He didn't get nominated.
No, I know. I'm saying that dude was there for that video?
It's the two of them together with another guy.
Oh, wow.
Like, Joe Spinell is just this guy. I think he's like he was the godfather of, like, Sylvester Stallone's kid and stuff. Like, he's, I've saved Stallone. He's, like, just this weird Hollywood guy from the 70s and early 80s who is a pretty interesting character actor. I'm a humongous fan of him. And unfortunately, he's dead. So, this wasn't anything funny, but I love Joe Spinell. So suck on that one, John.
Well, I saw enough things being sucked on in Cruising, so I'm good, thank you. Did William Friedkin was a writer on this movie?
Mm-hmm.
Did he write any of his other... I didn't take the time to look it up. Did he write anything else, you know?
William Friedkin didn't write a lot of the movies he directed, Trickster.
He didn't Friedkin write them.
Hey guys, can we talk about my favorite Al Pacino role?
Yeah, please enlighten me, because I by no means have seen every Al Pacino movie, or even come close to half. I haven't watched all that many, honestly. Tell me what your favorite Al Pacino movie is. Heat?
I mean, well, that's the thing. See, there's a lot of Al Pacino movies I like. Like, I mean, throughout the 70s, there's just great performance after great performance, obviously. The 80s, he gets a little bit more crazy with Scarface and just becomes kind of like a cartoon. By the 90s, but you still get, like, Son of a Woman, you got Heat. But my favorite Al Pacino role, the one that is just, I don't know, one that I think he was really sincere in, was the performance he gave as Al Pacino in Jack and Jill. Have you guys ever seen that film?
The Adam Sandler vehicle.
I have it on VHS sitting on top.
De Force.
I have it on VHS sitting on top of my TV right
VHS?
Now.
VHS.
Where my dad recorded it off like HBO or something on a VHS tape, and I was like, sure, I'll get out my ball and one night and pop that in and watch it, and so it's sitting up there, but I haven't watched it in like 3 months.
That would be awesome if you could actually buy that movie in VHS. Like, that's the last movie they made.
That's the only
VHS.
Way they marketed it. Jack and Jill was like marketed it only in VHS, except in China, where it was released in high-def Blu-ray.
It's true. They love it over there. But one of the reasons, I think, is because of the amazing Al Pacino. Do you know what his character entails in that movie? You know what happens to him?
What?
Al Pacino plays himself. And he really wants to fuck, in this PG movie, he really wants to fuck Jill.
Adam Sandler
the
as
female.
A woman.
Yeah, he wants to fuck the female Adam Sandler. But at the same time, male Adam Sandler wants Al Pacino to record a commercial for Dunkin' Donuts. And there's this incredible scene. You better if I just played the videotape for you, okay? Because we got John's VHS here, and I'll just load it in.
Oh, please do. Yes, let's see.
This is the commercial that I'll describe the actions as it's going on for our seeing impaired. So it looks like we're inside of a Dunkin' Donuts, and just a normal day at Dunkin' Donuts. Oh, look, there's Al Pacino.
Hey, how's it going, everybody?
Hey, Mr. Pacino, how's it going?
Pretty good.
What do you want today, Al?
Mm-mm. My name's not Al anymore. It's Dunk.
And then Al Pacino starts rapping. It's looking like he's about to get down, I guess.
My name's Dunkachino.
And he's dancing around, you guys. You see that? And all the Dunkin' Donuts people are dancing around with him saying that his name is Dunkachino. Isn't that crazy? He's saying Dunkachino a lot.
That makes me really want to watch that movie.
Oh, okay, I'll stop it. Oh, yeah, isn't that weird? That
happens.
Yeah, I think I'm
gonna... That's the scene verbatim, yeah. I just played it on a VHS for you.
I think I have no choice but to go home tonight and to watch Jack and Jill and watch just Al Pacino's performance.
It's really good. It's so much better than anything he's done the last 25 years.
Oh, I hate it.
You know, Al Pacino was just a step away from being in New Year's Eve, but Bob De Niro stepped in and stole the shine from his shoes.
You know what I would do if I was in the same room as Adam Sandler?
You'd shit on him.
You'd probably mix up his CDs or something,
would you
right?
Bust? That's when you'd bust his fingers.
You'd probably, like... Did you hear that him and Rob Schneider are not on good terms right now?
I would suck his head into my mouth.
Oh my god, I bet it would look like bad CGI too.
I find that pretty crazy, Trickster. Pretty crazy. The Trickster.
But I wouldn't stop at just his head. I'd eat his entire body.
Good. Put him out of his
I would shit
food.
Out his bones.
You'd build a cage with his bones. Excitable Trickster, yeah.
Trickster, I'm very pleased with how you've done tonight, and I give you a Ramblers golf clap.
Thank you.
Official Ramblers golf clap for your performance tonight.
Well, that makes
one
of us, John.
Why, you don't think he filled Brett's sneakers?
Hold on. Two things. I'm not going to give Trickster any sort of feedback until, one, I hear that song, and two, I know if Brett's dead or not. Because otherwise, what is this all about? So, bring me the heart of Brett Trail and play that song, and I might let you in the group, buddy.
Fair enough. I'm off to retrieve the head of Brett Trail.
Well, play the song first.
The Dizzy Ramblers will be right back after this word from our sponsors.
This week's episode is sponsored by My Family's Home Cooking.
I think we deliver what other podcasts wouldn't.
Some balls.
Some balls in there in your spaghetti.
Oh my god. My mom makes the best meatballs. It really does. Right. Have you had my mom's meatballs, Brett?
I think I have, yeah.
That's pretty good.
Everything your mom makes is real tasty.
She's good, yeah. I'd compliment both my mother and my father on being good cooks. Manja! You're not gonna get any of it, audience, but I enjoy it, so fuck off.
Yeah, I get on it sometimes too. It's good home cooking.
Bet you wish you could have that.
Here, let's, okay.
We've played this song a thousand times.
We have, Trickster, do this shot. Sam got out the shot of whiskey while you were... Did you find Brett's skull or heart. Spinal cord.
Yes, it's here!
Oh my god! He's got a goatee!
Well, in memory of Brett, do this shot with us. Brett Trail, RIP.
To Brett and Jonathan Winters.
To Brett, and get this all over the mic.
Die when you die, motherfucker.
Are you ready to cruise with the Ramblers?
1, 2, 3.
I wanna go cruising with the Ramblers. The Ramblers go where no man was meant to the bottom of the ocean, to the top of the highest peak. The Ramblers will blow your mind each and every week. If you cruise with the Ramblers, a surprise or two is in store, and it's all completely free. Who could ask for more? The Ramblers are here, we're here to stay. Even Al Pacino falling into nasty S&M can't keep us away. Cruising.
Cruising.
Cruising with the Ramblers. Cruising.
Cruising.
Cruising with the Ramblers. Cruising.
Do you want to
go? Cruising.
Cruising.
Cruising with the Ramblers.
Cruising.
Cruising.
Cruising
with the Ramblers.
Cruising.
Cruising.
Cruising
with the Ramblers. Cruising with the Ramblers. I mean,
I don't think he's buying it.
Sounded like you guys were a little distracted while you were playing that, and I think it's because you both knew it was weak material, and you were bringing something you obviously hadn't worked on to the show. And I think usually when we do songs, they're well rehearsed, and we've done it 1,000 times, and this time obviously you guys weren't bringing it. So,
about we've been working on that for weeks, you son of a bitch. How dare you shoot us down like that? You know, he put his heart and soul on paper for you, and I translated it into delicious music for your ears, and you shit on it?
Well, in this case, guys, you know what I think is going to happen? I think we're going to have an unprecedented Ramblers ending here.
How so?
I'm not giving you guys the shame, shame, shame. I'm giving me the shame, shame, shame. Hold on a second, everybody. And then I've got to say something else, because this episode, I think much like the movie Cruising, I've changed a lot throughout this episode. And pretty soon I'll just be looking through the window and smirking at you. All right, so hold on a second. Shame, shame, shame. That's what I give to myself. And you know what? I renounce myself as a Rambler. Next week, it will be Brett Trail's dead body, John Sean the Trickster, and I will not be here.
Man, what did I say?
This is going on, John. I retire from the Dizzy Ramblers.
Well, I'm going to see if I can't dunk Brett's body in the Lazarus pit and resurrect him or something, because that sounds horrifying to me. I can't imagine doing the Voices on the Web segment with Brett's decomposing corpse and the Trickster. This is a nightmare in the making.
It's over, man. I realize now.
You renounced yourself because you thought the song was so good? Is that what happened?
I thought it was so bad that obviously I shouldn't be a member of this group.
Well, I mean, he calls him like he sees him, I guess.
There's only one thing left to say, and I think that's, would you like to go
cruising?
Cruising.
Cruising with the Ramblers.
Cruising.
Cruising.
Cruising with the Ramblers.
Cruising.
Cruising.
Cruising
with the Ramblers.
Would you like to go
cruising?
I'm having an epiphany. I see lights in the sky. I see T. Ryder Smith's Twitter account saying hilarious things every day. I see the Dizzy Ramblers Twitter account, and it's getting so many laughs. I can see it all now. And that's all I can see. Because it's traveling time for this Rambler.
It's traveling time.
We have fun. Now we've come to the end, and we gotta get back on the run. No, we're always thinking of you as we ride into that settling sun. Yeah, the Ramblers got to travel, so goodbye to everyone.
never thought about it like this before, but I neither wanted to go cruising or traveling with you guys ever again.